Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
20% of the businesses fail in the first year, and over 50% of the businesses fail in the next 3 to 5 years.
You could have the best website in the world, but unless people know about it, you know, you've got to keep advertising it and keep telling people about it.
Multitasking or task switching takes a lot of time for our brain to kind of adapt and to be at our full potential. Monotasking rather than multitasking is going to get you there.
You know, life is so amazing and there's so many things that you can be doing.
Our goal is to create value into people's lives, and for that we need to sacrifice a lot of our life, energy, effort, decision making to get there. What is law of attraction?
Following the law of attraction is you have to believe, no matter what, even if it looks as though it's not going to show up for you, this is definitely going to happen one way or another. You have to be grateful for everything that you have.
We criticize ourselves more than what we deserve.
Believe 100% without any doubt that those things will definitely happen for you.
Albert Einstein once said that magic is always happening in the world. It's just that, are you choosing to be a part of it? Gaynor, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm so excited to be here, so happy to be here.
Me too. We've had some behind-the-scenes conversations, like our people who are watching this on video, our shoes matching, so it's meant to be.
It was written in the stars, wasn't it? See?
Yeah, I'm excited about this podcast as well, because your story is really inspiring. Now, tell me, let's go back a few years. 2021, the world's going through pandemics, people are losing their jobs, people are scared. And you know what happened was, as we went into 2022, we understood that the virus isn't that serious. In 2021, most people thought that if they got the virus, that's it. Kaboom.
Yeah.
Finito. But as we learned about like immunity and all the cells and how the virus acts, we kind of understood that even if you did get it, there is chances of recovery and revival.
Right.
It's a really stressed time. You know, when we are stressed, we're not able to make the right decisions and we're not able to kind of plan for the future.
Yeah.
But you went right in the opposite direction. You started your business. I'm sure there was a lot of planning involved. Take us back to 2021. Like, what was going on and how and why did you decide to start this business?
Yeah, well, I was working from home like a lot of people. So I've always worked part-time just for a finance company. So it was working from home. But I think a way for me to switch off in a little way was watching a lot of YouTube videos. And I'm an avid reader. I'm somebody that's always looking to learn and to grow. And I was just watching these videos with an open mind. And I think I've always had a bit of an entrepreneurial streak to me and have tried sort of different side hustles in my teenage years, in my early 20s. None of them incredibly successful, you know, just here and there. So I've always had that within me. But yeah, I was just watching various videos. And one day a video came up. Basically saying that you can build an online store for yourself, which is fairly inexpensive to set up. And it's just a great, great side hustle and doesn't require an awful lot of work. But what it also did, it gave you a 7-week course to actually learn how to build your store yourself. And I'm not a technical person at all, but I think a lot of people say that, but then, you know, you can surprise yourself. But I just did this course. So over the next few weeks, just set aside some time at the weekend and built my website and built my store. And for me, it was quite natural to do clothing because that's something that I've always loved. I find it such an expression of who you are and can give you such confidence and, you know, make you feel amazing if you've got the right clothes on or the right trainers. So yeah, it just felt natural to do that. And I also created my own collection of sort of travel products as well. In fact, initially it was mainly travel products, because I thought that sort of works, us living here in Dubai, and me travelling. So it started off as just travel products, but then I very quickly introduced the clothing. But yeah, and then eventually sort of got to the stage where I could set it live and officially start my business and start advertising and building my profile on Instagram, and doing all the other things that are involved, you know, in sort of running a business and getting the word out there. So you could have the best website in the world, but unless people know about it, you know, you've got to keep advertising it and keep telling people about it. And yeah, that was it. I'd got my own business and, you know, had a lot to figure out along the way. But, you know, you learn all the time.
What was your source of learning? Like, did you go back to the YouTube videos, or did you have a mentor or a guru or someone?
No, I didn't. Up until sort of the last month or so, I've only just had a coach. And I think that can be the way when you start a business yourself. It is just you and you're just doing. But no, a lot of YouTube videos and a lot of books, an awful lot of books on sort of mindset and, you know, how to overcome challenges and things like that. But for me, YouTube was just such a resource in any technical issue that I had with my website or setting up a payment provider and all these things. YouTube was my main thing that I kept going to. You know, fantastic.
Interesting. What are some of the challenges that a business faces, a startup faces? And, you know, most people want to get into the startup business, but they don't realize, according to official statistics, 20% of the businesses fail in the first year, and over 50% of the businesses fail in the next 3 to 5 years. So I had a person on the show, he's a big businessman here in Dubai, in multiple sectors, and he said, CJ, 90% of the businesses that start up in UAE, they fail. So knowing this ecosystem, which can be hard, what are some of the challenges that you faced?
I think it was literally from the get-go, I say, because being a small business, trying to get a credit card provider that's willing, you know, to sort of take you on board. You know, I had like 5, 6, 7 credit card companies that turned. And obviously, if you haven't got that, you haven't got a business. So so that, I mean, that in the first place is getting people to sort of take a chance on you, and be willing to sort of take you on board. But I say all the way along, you know, I've done various pop-up events where I haven't received a single sale. I've had paid advertising. Do you know, it takes resilience. It does take resilience, and sometimes the odd tear here and there. But I think once that's happened once, and I've actually done an episode specifically telling that story, because I know what it feels like. And I think every business is going to have those days, you know, especially in the start. But you've got to really, if you've got something that you believe in, and if you really believe in yourself and keep investing in yourself and keep reading and learning, you know, you will get there. But I don't think any successful business has just sailed through, or very few. There are going to be challenges, constant challenges, but you have to think like an entrepreneur and think it's not a roadblock. It's, you have to find a way around it, think of another way of doing it. There's got to be a solution somewhere. And don't give up, just keep going. And don't be disheartened when you get these roadblocks. You've just got to plow through them, you know.
Amazing. I love that you use the word resilience. And it's true. Starting a business or being in a business where you don't come in with a lot of funds, or you're not invested in, it's a very big risk, because right now, I'm sure you've worn multiple hats, being the marketing person, being the accountant, being the salesperson, being the one who's designing and, you know, talking about stuff. It's a lot of pressure. And you also are living in Dubai, you have a family. How did you manage the pressures of entrepreneurship, which could be really hard, and your family life and your personal life? Like, what are your tricks of getting into balance, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, something that everyone's trying to find, isn't it? You know, but I think for me, I've always been a busy person. and I've enjoyed being a busy person. So even before children, I'm used to doing several things at the same time. So having children for me, it didn't really make any difference. You know, when my daughter was a baby and my husband was travelling, he was actually travelling back and forth to Dubai when we were still living in the UK. I still wanted to work and I still wanted to earn my own money and contribute and everything. And I love working. I've always loved working. So my way of balancing both of those things was I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do my day's work before my daughter was even awake. So then I felt fulfilled that I'd done something good, you know, I'd enjoyed my work. And then I had the day with my daughter where I didn't have to think about it. So for me, balance, I always almost compartmentalise my day. So when I'm doing one thing, I'm only focusing on that, and that way I can just invest in. But yeah, I'm a very motivated person anyway. And I'm quite a light-hearted person. I don't get stressed very often. I think every now and then I do. But yeah, for me, I think sort of compartmentalizing my day definitely helps.
I love what you're saying there, because a lot of us are under the impression that we are great at multitasking. Mm-hmm. But when we look at neuroscience, it tells us that 99.99% of the people are horrible at multitasking.
Yeah.
We think we are getting more done, but multitasking or task switching takes a lot of time for our brain to kind of adapt and to be at our full potential. Mm-hmm. So much so that in offices, if you're working on a project and someone comes from behind and says like, hey, CJ, what's up? It will take you about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how focused you can be, to get back into that flow. Uh-huh. And that's crazy. And what you're saying is, monotasking rather than multitasking is going to get you there. So and I love that, because a lot of people think that they're very busy doing a lot of stuff, but nothing is happening. They're building up stress, they're building up anxiety, because the brain is not able to capture so much of these things. I mean, it's funny, we have like the attention span of a goldfish right now, and it's only decreasing. So in that point, if people who are listening, you know, take your advice, focus on one thing at one time. If you want to get more things out of the day, you know, adjust your sleep cycles, wake up a bit early, get more out of the day, and you can find balance. That's very good, actually. That's very cool. So you lived in the UK, you have a little bit of that hustler mentality.
I do. I am Del Boy. I think I'm the original Del Boy.
I love that, because people with that, I would say I have that sort of like a outlook towards life as well. We look at a scenario and we look at opportunities that that scenario might present to us. And then we, instead of ignoring it or taking the advice that most people are like, oh, that's not going to work. We kind of like dive, take a deep dive, be like, okay, at least there's something worth exploring. It might succeed, it might not succeed, but with anything in life, your action and the process is what matters. The end result is beyond our control. You know, we need the economics to work. The pandemic can be a thing. Credit card companies might not come to us. But the process that we take can is 100% controlled by us. And I also love that you mentioned something very important in the beginning. You said that you went to yourself, you looked at YouTube videos, you looked at how to crack the code on... You took responsibility, which a lot of people are not taking these days. Everyone's waiting for someone else to come and save them, or someone else to kind of like make that introduction, or someone else to come fix their laptop or whatever. But taking responsibility and saying that, okay, you know what? I can do it. The resources are there. The information is there. And most of the times it's for free, like on YouTube. It's like the best university in the world. But that mindset, it is what's missing today. How do you develop this mindset when it's so easy to say, I'm going to wait for tomorrow. I'll let someone else do it. This is too technical. How do you, because you mentioned advertising as well. Do you do advertising yourself? Because that's a very complicated area for most people to understand.
Yeah, it is. No, I sort of dabble. So I'll do sort of bits of Instagram advertising or, but now I'm sort of using Instagram almost, I do advertise, but I just do it myself. So I'll do a video talking about my clothes, or, you know, I put adverts on there about my podcast. But yeah, I mean, with regards to people sort of just going along with life, I've never been that way. I have at times, you know, settled into a job and been there for a few years, and it hasn't been my favourite job, but it's been okay. But then something will always wake me up thinking, this isn't good enough, you know, it's boring, or it doesn't inspire me whatsoever. And I have always had that way, probably since I was a teenager, that, you know, life is so amazing and there's so many things that you can be doing. You know, you can live in incredible places. You don't have to live where you were brought up if that's not your cup of tea. Even before I got into the law of attraction, I've always just thought, I want to live an incredible life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't just want to settle. So I think people are conditioned to thinking that, you know, you have a 9-to-5 job, you get a pension or what have you, and that's it, and you look forward to your 2-week holiday a year, and that's pretty much it. But I think if you allow yourself to explore some of those dreams that you've got deep down, and just start looking into it, there's no harm in investigating a little bit what might make you happy. You know, because I say we're only here for a short time. Yeah. You know, we've got to make the most of it.
Your podcast, you have over 70 episodes, right?
Yes.
Do you know you're in the top 1% of podcasters in the world?
Am I really?
Yeah. Most people won't upload more than 20. If you have uploaded more than 21 podcasts, you're in the top 1%. Because most people won't upload more than 5 podcasts. Mm-hmm. This is like 90%. And 9 people will not upload more than 10 podcasts.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But that's so strange to start something, you know, because it takes effort to sort of start and then just to, for whatever reason, not to.
I think a lot of people are in it for the instant gratification. So you start a podcast. In the science world, we look at a successful podcast like Andrew Huberman's podcast, or, you know, someone else who inspires you, and you think that you could start and get there right away. Mm-hmm. Just like with the business, you can start somewhere, go to a pop-up shop, and you're going to come out with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
But in reality, that doesn't happen. It takes a lot of time. It takes persistence. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of dedication, because the amount of, if no one knows this, like the amount of time you need to prep for a podcast, the amount of time that you spend, you know, creating it, editing it, it's a lot of work. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to talk to a podcaster to understand that it's, our goal is to create value into people's lives. Yeah. And for that, we need to sacrifice a lot of our life, energy, effort, decision-making, to get there. So thank you for doing all of your podcasts. It's amazing. You're doing a great job. You mentioned something interesting. Law of attraction. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big believer of manifesting.
Yes.
A lot of your podcast is about manifesting, the 5 a.m. club. Really cool titles, by the way, podcast. Let's start with, what is law of attraction? Some people might have heard of it, but what's it according to you?
Yeah, I think a very basic term, it's what you put out to the universe. So if you're a positive person, you're kind to people, you're good, then that's what will come back into your life at the very basic. Mm-hmm. But it's basically sort of a way of also achieving what you want in your life when you learn how to practice the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And it's not that complicated to actually do it. There are just a few simple steps. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very woo-woo, you know, I think to an awful lot of people. My husband's just starting to believe in it.
Oh, finally.
years later kind of thing. But he's a very practical, factual man, you know, and a lot of people are. And I think I was sceptical at first, because we naturally are. But, you know, after reading about it and testing it for myself, it's just turned my life around, and it's just incredible what can happen when you practice the law of attraction. Mm-hmm.
Years ago, there was a book called The Secret.
Yes.
And I think that is one of the things that made law of attraction so famous. Of course, it's been there for thousands of years in different ancient scriptures and cultures. Mm-hmm. How did manifestation or law of attraction come into your life? Did you see the Secret movie or?
I didn't. I've tried to find it, but I can't find it anywhere. But no, I read The Secret.
Okay.
And I read that from watching one of my YouTubers that I watch. Mm-hmm. A girl that's in the UK in the Cotswolds. And I think around the pandemic time, I was a bit homesick. So I thought, you know, a bit of home, I'll watch her. But one of her episodes, she was talking about how she'd managed to manifest 100,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And saying that before she had done that, she believed that she would get it so much that she had 100,000 inscribed on a bracelet of hers. And then she didn't go into it in much more detail than that. So I bought a copy of it. And I think visually that the actual book, it's not the kind of book that I would normally be drawn to in a bookshop. Mm. It looks quite old fashioned. And, you know, there's a lot of quotes in there from philosophers and things like that. And it's only quite a small book, so it didn't take me long to read. So I read it and I just thought it all sounds very nice, but I'm not going to know whether or not this is a real thing unless I test it for myself to find out. One way or the other, I'll know whether or not this is a real thing. I think as well, because so many influential people were talking about the law of attraction, you know, Oprah Winfrey, all these incredibly successful people followed the steps of the law of attraction. To have a rather big challenge. I thought if I'm going to do it, you know, I'm going to choose something big so I'll know for sure. And I decided to try and get myself and my family into the Coldplay concert that was played when they played at Expo. And this concert sold out within a couple of hours. And I tried to get tickets the normal way. But when it had sold out, I thought part of following the law of attraction is you have to believe no matter what, even if it looks as though it's not going to show up for you, this is definitely going to happen one way or another. So we already had passes to Expo. We had 6-month passes. So on the day, I said, well, let's just go to Expo anyway. You can still walk around the park, you know, and maybe we'll be able to hear them or there might be big screens up. And my son was really, really into them. So he was really excited. And we got there and there were literally thousands and thousands of people there. And you couldn't even see the screens. There were so many people. And so I thought, this isn't really happening, but okay, I'm just going to soldier on and believe that if I keep trying ways of getting in there, something's going to happen. So after a little while, we decided to go for a walk and just see if there was a better place to view the screens. So we decided to walk around the front of the venue. And I've often found in my life that sometimes by doing the obvious, it really gives you an advantage because so many people in life think, everyone will be doing that.
Yeah.
So we went round the front of the venue and there was probably 6 people there with all the other thousands of people round at the back. And we could see the screens perfectly and there were barriers up. And then I thought to myself, maybe this is my manifestation. Maybe this is it. Because sometimes when you manifest something, it doesn't always show up exactly how you had in mind. It normally does, but sometimes there's a variation on it. So we were standing there watching it. And then all of a sudden, the security guard just pulled the barrier aside and said, you can go in.
Your wish has been granted.
Your wish has been granted, honestly. And then it was only a few months afterwards that, thinking back on it, as we were walking down into the Al Wasl Plaza, the song that Coldplay were playing was My Universe. So It's just incredible. And then since then, obviously, that was it. Then I was totally converted. And I've just manifested so many things, big things and small things.
That's amazing.
Almost like magic.
So let's deconstruct the magic.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who's listening.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, this seems powerful. Mm-hmm. I want to do some manifestation in my life.
Yeah.
I'm sure the guy behind... Yes. Yeah. Already thinking about
it. He's making notes.
So for a person like him,
yeah,
someone who's listening,
mm-hmm,
where do they start? Is there a simple process or like have you developed your own process which you've seen works better if you're comfortable with sharing it?
Yeah, of
course. Everyone can use a bit of magic in their life.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Because that just brings joy, doesn't it? And mm-hmm. that's what we're all hoping for. But yeah, I mean, you can obviously read The Secret. That's mm-hmm. normally a good place to start. But there's a few processes. So a major part of manifesting is gratitude. And it's essential. So what that means is every single day, you have to be grateful for everything that you have. And what I normally do is if I'm taking the dog, and it could be simple things or it could be big things, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm healthy and that my family are healthy. Yeah. I'm so grateful that it's a beautiful day and that there's a breeze today. Or I'm so grateful that I've got a hot cup of tea waiting for me when I get home. Whatever feels good to you. But just really thinking about, gosh, you know, I've got so much. Because that in itself will make your life better and mm-hmm. happier, and will just raise your energy and raise your vibration, and just start your day off in a good way. So gratitude is a huge one. And then the next thing is to think about what you actually want in your life. And I think not many people take the time to actually stop and think, you know, if I could have anything that I wanted in my life without any limitations whatsoever, what would I want? Say that can take time. It can take time to sort of get a list together of exactly what you want. But yeah, decide what you want, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how far-fetched it seems. But if there's something that you really would love to have in your life, and in different areas as well, you know, you could be, mm-hmm. a loving partner or fantastic health or whatever it might be, more friends as well. And be specific as well. So when you write down what you want to achieve, be detailed about it, because you could write on there that you want, a dream house on the beach. So then the universe might grant it to you, but it might be in somewhere that you don't really like mm-hmm. or something. So really be detailed. You can have it sort of in your bag, so you carry those thoughts around with you every day. A lot of people do a vision board, which mm-hmm. you can do on like Canva or somewhere. And I've got one on my phone and on all of my devices.
Your podcast as well, right?
Yes, I do.
A vision board episode.
Yeah, I do. but yeah, it's a constant reminder mm-hmm. to your subconscious brain as well what you're actually aiming for in life. So that's the second point. The third point is also, once you've decided what you want, to believe 100% without any doubt that those things will definitely happen for you. And what you don't have to decide is how it's going to happen, because the universe will guide you, or God, or however you choose to look at it, fate. It will guide you and give you clues along the way on sort of how to get that thing. Mm-hmm. And it will give you a lot of help as well. So you don't have to think, say if you wanted a six-figure salary, but you're only earning minimal wage at the moment. You know, don't get bogged down with, but how can somebody like me get that, you know, release that to the universe. That's the universe's problem to deal with. And just believe. And that, again, will raise your feelings of joy every day, because you know that at some point these things are going to happen for you. A nice thing as well, say if there was a particular car that you wanted, what I've heard on another podcast is sometimes, say if that car drives past you, it's the universe's way of showing you that, you know, reminding you that's coming to you soon. So mm-hmm. I quite like that. And then I would probably say that the last point is that you've got to work towards those goals as well. So I always look at manifesting almost like a partnership between mm-hmm. you and the universe. So, you know, with the Coldplay concert, I couldn't have just sat on my settee and tickets would magically yeah. happen. It was only because I still had the faith that we would get into that concert, even though all those odds were against us. There was no way that we were going to get into that concert, mm-hmm. and yet it happened because we showed up, we kept trying to get in, and then it was easy. So you've got to keep taking steps towards it, no matter how big it is. You know, just start a savings mm-hmm. account, no matter how little it is, and entitle that bank account, you know, whatever, the dream house or the perfect holiday or whatever. Believe in it and work towards it. Even if it's tiny little steps, mm-hmm. you'll get there.
I love that. That's beautiful. I hope everyone's been taking notes. And, you know, there were so many things in my mind while you were saying this. Mm-hmm. Let's start off with gratitude. Now, yeah. we know that feeling grateful is increases your energetic vibration. If we can take a blood test right now and you and me are feeling, or one of us is feeling grateful and one of us isn't, we'll see a downstream of negative hormones, chemicals going on in our body in the moment itself.
Yeah.
If I'm around you and in this room I feel a lot of grace, it could be a picture of God or anything, automatically the vibrations increase. So being around grateful people, being around spaces which are more positive can actually increase your vibration. This is proven by science.
Wow.
David Emmons from the University of California, he did a study and he showed if you write five things that you're grateful for per week, I would say do it every day.
Yeah.
But if you can write down five things that you're grateful for in a week, you sleep 25 minutes more, you exercise 33% more, and your happiness quotient, which is, they have a way of measuring it, or that goes up by 30%.
Gosh.
So it is science-backed, it's powerful. People have been talking about it for thousands of years. And I remember, it's so funny because I read a book a few years ago. It was gifted to me. It's by another podcast. He's a podcaster as well. His name is Jay Shetty. And the book's name is Think Like a Monk.
Yeah.
And in that book, he mentioned that you can find chances of being grateful just while walking. He was talking about, like, back in the day, he would just go on a walk and find things to be grateful for. And about 2 years ago, when I started taking my dog for a walk, I was just looking at the environment and finding things to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the leaves. They're so green. You know, it's nice. We're breathing oxygen. Okay, let's just, I'm grateful to have my dog, Jaeger. Shout out to Jaeger.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so interesting because as soon as you said that, I went back into this walk that I have almost every day with Jaeger.
Yeah.
And I try to find something in the environment that I'm grateful for. What has recently been working for me is that every night before I sleep, of course, I'm writing a few things down and I kind of like just shut off everything. I go into my meditativeness and then I'm looking at all the things that I'm reflecting back on my day and consciously looking at everything that has happened and being grateful for it. Because also what science tells us is that we have a negativity bias, most of us. So naturally, we tend to pay attention to anything negative that has happened, anything that hasn't worked out for us. And because that opposes a threat, and a threat can be dangerous. Anything that good that's happened, our brain tends to forget it. So if you ask you, like, if I ask most people, like, what was something good that happened to you this week? It'll take them time to think, but magic is happening every day.
Yeah.
And one way to short circuit that is by writing something down or having a practice where you're reminding yourself every day, because then your brain doesn't forget.
Yes.
And then you look for those things. You look for, if you are grateful, you're looking for more and more things to be grateful for, because it spikes up a very cool emotional circuitry.
Yeah.
And then also, what was really interesting on what she said is being clear and being specific, because a lot of people, you're right, like I want a job, or they're not specific enough. And what happens is a lot of people get a lot of confidence, but they don't get clarity with that confidence. And confidence without clarity can be very dangerous.
Yes.
Because you can walk around the world thinking you're super confident, but you're not clear exactly on what you want.
Yes.
So one of the ways that you said, write it down, be very specific.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because this reminds me of another study that they did in Dr. Gail Matthews' lab in University of Dominican, California. And what she showed was that if you write anything down, so it's a goal, I want to get a new job as a financial advisor in Morgan Stanley, something. And you share it with one or two people, and you are revisiting that statement. You don't have to write it down every day, but you're revisiting that statement. Your chances of achieving it jump to 42%. And that's incredible. If I could just write something down and share it with a few friends, and they could hold me accountable for it, and if I can boost my chances of getting it by 42%, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's, and it's such simple thing that's out there. It's for free. You don't have to invest in anything.
Yeah.
You know, you need a book or a pen or a gratitude journal. So it's just those simple things that can bring magic in life. So thank you for sharing that. Have you seen manifestation work in someone else's life that you kind of like shared this with?
Yes.
Were they able to manifest something?
Yeah, they were. My, in fact, a friend of mine, a very busy mom, you know, always rushing around, and she'd started listening to my podcast. And she made me laugh. She showed up one day when we went for coffee with The Secret and The Magic book, also by Rhonda Byrne. And she said, I've got these. Now what do I do? And I said, well, you need to read them, obviously.
Let's start there.
But I think she was sort of, I think when people talk, because most people have heard of the law of attraction and manifesting, to dip their toe in, but they're so scared to be brave enough to give it a try. So she read the Secret, and I said, and she was like, now what? And I said, well, you need to write something down. And she really wanted her son to get into a particular school. And he went for the sort of appraisal thing, and she didn't hear back. And her daughter was already at that school. And she'd had the email by a certain date for her daughter. And that date came and went for her son. And nothing. And then this email popped up saying, you know, congratulations, he's got a place. So that was one thing. And then she was like, it really happened. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. And then it happened. But then a lovely one, my sister also listens to my podcast, and she started believing in it. And she'd said before, you know, I always manifest parking spaces, you know, in the most unlikely busy car park, I can always find a space because I know I'm going to get one. But she wanted a particular contract. She'd set up her own business, being a PA, a virtual assistant. And she'd done some work for this guy, and she'd really enjoyed doing it. And he was really nice. And, some time had gone by, and she thought, you know, I would love to do some more work or have another contract with him. So her and her husband had actually gone out on New Year's Eve, and apparently they always planned their goals for the following year, which I loved that. Beautiful. I thought that's amazing. And she'd written down that, you know, I will have a contract, I will do work again for this guy. This morning, New Year's Day, she had an email from him offering her another seat as well. So, yeah, it's happening amazing. All the time, you know.
Like Albert Einstein once said that magic is always happening in the world. It's just that, are you choosing to be a part of it or not?
Oh,
I'm paraphrasing it. He said it in some other way, but that was the concept. I can put my name down.
See? Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, anyone who's listening, it doesn't only happen in other people's lives. It can happen in your life as well. If you take that conscious effort, she gave you a beautiful strategy. There are multiple resources online. And don't be scared. It's no longer woo-woo. It's now proven by science. And you can consciously take effort to get there. Now let's talk about one of my other favorite subjects, because I'm all in for the science of manifestation. You know, athletes use it. A lot of people use it. Even visualization. You spoke about the vision board.
Yes.
When we close our eyes and we're meditating and imagining a scenario, or we're thinking of being in something, the visual circuits of our brain trigger in the same way as what would happen in reality. So athletes do these kind of practices. A lot of Joe Dispenza studies talk about these visualization. So it works, and we know it.
Yeah.
But the most important, or one of the most important pieces, is the last point that you spoke about. Mm-hmm. It's the action.
Yeah.
It's the conscious action. And I understand a lot of traditional sciences and yogic sciences, and in that we say karma. You mentioned it.
Yes.
And karma means action. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the universe will happen until you have a right intention, the right belief, and you take action steps towards it.
Yes.
And sometimes that's the place where people go wrong. They think that, okay, you know, that someone's going to come save me, or things are going to happen magically. But if you don't take that step every day, if you don't remind yourself that here's a goal, here are multiple paths to go on, here's the effort and sacrifice I need to put in to get there, and then magic starts happening. So it's like it's not just a one-way approach, it's like multiple ways that come together.
Yes.
Let's talk about your business. And here's what I want to get your take on, because you're doing something out of the norm. You have things like shop and sip.
Yes.
You have, you know, you have this unique concept where you actually go into people's house and you present your fashion collection.
Yes.
I haven't seen anyone do that because as an entrepreneur, I just want to understand your thought process on how are you looking at an opportunity that most of us are not looking at? Or are you, you know, you're capitalizing on something that could be the next thing in the future? So give me your thoughts on that. Let's go from the science to the business nerd side of things.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, because I'm a 70s child, so in the 70s and the 80s, it was quite fashionable to have either a makeup party, and I had them myself, you know, when I got my own house and I'd get all
what
the girls
what is a makeup
around.
Party for someone who's listening?
Yeah, it's basically where someone from a makeup company will come around, bring their products, and you can try them and buy them, and it's just a fun, sociable way of doing shopping, basically. So those kind of things were around when I was younger. And I think as well, sort of with clothing, I think people will buy from online stores if they know them, like your Zara's and Mango's and things. But if you're unknown, people might like the look of what they see on your website, but there's still a bit of a trust factor.
Yeah, they don't
trust
putting their credit card down on a random website. No. Although your website, for everyone who's listening, is very beautiful. I went through it.
Yeah, thank you.
I was looking at purchasing some things for my girlfriend as a surprise. But yeah, please continue. Sorry to cut you off there. I just had to put it out there that also the... You're, of course, you're great at fashion, but like everything that's out there is so much better than what designs are there at Zara and stuff. Like, you know, I'm comparing for the average person.
Yes.
And me, I'm not very good at fashion, but when I saw things, I was like, wow, that's that's like cool stuff at like very good prices. So, but yeah, continue. Sorry to cut you off.
Not at all. No, that's fine. So yeah, I think people like to try things on, people like to touch things, and people like to get to know you as well, because, you know, it's been said for so long that people buy from people, you know, and your brand is you, basically. So people get to know you as well. But I thought it's just a convenient way for people to shop with me, because, again, I can do pop-ups, but, you know, if people can't get there on that day or what have you. I just wanted sort of a convenient way for people to be able to shop. And they can always, they can either have a one-to-one with me or a clothing party, you know, like I did in my house. But it's just a really, and I enjoy it as much as they do because, you know, I love clothing. So sort of dressing up and putting outfits together. But the other side of that is because I really care about people, I think everyone should feel confident, and I think the thought of a human being sort of really not feeling great when they walk out their front door, well, I think that's something that I can help with, you know. So the simple thing of clothing is it can make all the difference to if you find something that fits you well, you know, that's comfortable, that you feel great in, that's, you know, not expensive, that can do wonders for in here as well, your confidence and how you show up that day. It can completely change how you are that day, you know. I get as much out of it.
Amazing. And I think in a busy city where everyone's so busy, if you can get some time to arrange something for yourself or for your friends, a lot of people are missing that part, you know. Loneliness is on the rise. Mental health diseases is on the rise. In fact, according to some scientific predictions, in 2040, 1 in 4 people will have mental health issues. So it's you, me, him, and if there was someone else in this room in 2040, one of us would have go through something mentally challenging. And I've spoken to a lot of doctors and scientists, and they say that that number, 2040, is way far. It's actually much closer than that.
Wow.
So it's crazy that we're living in a world where there are so many challenges. And I like that when, let's say, for example, someone has the clothing party and you're there, you're actually there with the person. You can make that person feel more, like you said, like confident. You can suggest some things because, again, a lot of people have this overwhelming effect. If I have like 5 things to choose from, it's the Netflix dilemma.
Yeah.
Netflix is amazing. It's like, you know, Netflix now even has an option. It says like recommended for you.
Yeah, because so I can't decide.
I would love for Netflix to bring up an app where you just kind of like go in there and you select a genre and then it just plays something and then you cannot stop it.
Yeah. It's like the Starbucks, too many decisions, isn't
exactly.
It overwhelms.
And we have decision-making fatigue, right?
Yeah.
And also, we criticize ourselves more than what we deserve, mm-hmm. most people.
Yeah.
When you have an expert like yourself, mm-hmm. it's not just... kind of like is has no personal interest in their like story and what they're telling in their head, mm-hmm. but like is very objective about the style, the shape of their body, how mm-hmm. the shape of the dress is, what's in the trend, what looks good on them.
Yeah,
it's much better. How's that working for you? How's that strategy working for you?
It works really well, and I think because I'm naturally quite a relaxed person, quite a
You're
chilled
a people's
out person.
Yeah.
I'm a people person, so I think people do tend to feel quite comfortable around me.
You have a great vibe.
Oh, thank you.
I've interviewed so many people, but hardly right before the podcast as well. You could just, there's energy dynamics and, you know, you make, normally I have to do the job of making someone comfortable, but you're yes. making me feel comfortable, so it's amazing.
We'll switch seats, I'll take it. But no, I think I can, because I can look at anyone mm-hmm. and see what they've got going for them, mm-hmm. like you say, because I'm looking at them objectively. I haven't all that got these all monsters yeah. in my head about them. So I know that anyone can look fab in the right yeah. outfit, you know. So yeah, it's a privilege really to be able to help people with that.
Amazing. Where do you see the online shopping industry going? So we know that remote working is increasing, is rising. So a lot of people don't want to work in traditional places. They want to, you know, come to Dubai and work. Even if they're working in London, they're working from Dubai because it's like mm-hmm. a beautiful place to be in.
Yeah.
Or Bali or anywhere. Mm-hmm. That means we have a lot of people, tourists, remote workers for your business. Or what kind of like analytics are you looking at to capitalize like in the business side of things?
That's a good question.
Any trends maybe that you're looking at?
I don't know. I mean, for me, I almost feel as though people have been online so much, they almost want to sort of, not a break from that, but it's almost as if people are going back to mm-hmm. the way that they used to do things. So I think things like pop-ups mm-hmm. and all these markets are coming up because people want to go back to almost like a human experience that mm-hmm. you leave the house and you sort of go out and you touch the clothes and have interaction with people. So I think for me, offering both is, mm-hmm. is my best way as a business to sort of cover both of those things. But yeah, I think myself, you know, I've definitely gone back to going out to the malls mm-hmm. and having a look around or, you know, looking in the Zaras and things because you don't get that same experience sometimes from having a look online. Mm-hmm. But then there are people that convenience-wise, you know, once they know your brand, they know what your clothes are like, they can sort of shop online with you. Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, we have all of these different fashion shows all around the world and mm-hmm. in Dubai, and there are magazines and there are all these different models coming up with different stuff and there are different mm-hmm. designers in the world. Is there something specific that drives you, like you design or you have available a certain kind of clothing for a certain kind of people? How does that work for you?
Yeah, well, I basically cherry pick my collection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've always got sort of, I suppose, women like me, you know, so not sort of, you know, the perfect, excuse me, the perfect figure or the perfect.
There is no perfect.
There is no perfect, no. So I always bear in mind a very practical element to the mm-hmm. things. But, you know, I think everyone still wants to look cool and everyone still, whatever mm-hmm. your age, everyone still wants to look sort of well put together. So for me, I'm not sort of picking things based on sort of like model type mm-hmm. people. It's more for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting because, you know, most of the times we hear about designers and they're very specific on, you know, the models and making the people who look already great, mm-hmm. they make them look better.
Yeah.
But hardly there are people who are looking at the everyday person.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, like, almost 1% of the people might look like that model,
yeah.
like people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the everyday people, they want to get something more fashionable. They want to
yeah.
feel like that.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, makes them feel more confident that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, how you connected confidence with clothing. And mm-hmm. when I think about it, it's, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It would be. Most people are, you know, shy sometimes when they don't think they're wearing the right clothes. And some people are, you know, they get an extra boost of confidence, especially going to for meetings or going for presentations where they will be exposed to a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your online shop that's working for you.
Yeah.
You are, I've seen a lot of your Instagram pictures and videos in pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the sip and shop.
Yes.
And you're making, you have a podcast, you're making your online brand because you're amazingly connecting with the emotions of your consumers. Okay. What's next for you?
Well, that's a very good question because I think somebody like me, I am always sort of onto the next thing, but thinking of other ways to expand. So, I'm writing a book.
Wow.
That I've almost finished, actually.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
amazing.
Thank you. And like when I started my business, I didn't quite know what the next steps are after that or how you get it published or, but I'll figure that out just like I did with the business, you know, but I just wanted to write about my personal experience of manifesting. So I've just dedicated it to all of the things that I've manifested because I thought that's something that I would love to read about. And just hearing people's examples, I absolutely love that. So, and that a little bit ties in with my podcast because I do have some episodes. It just felt natural. And because I'm such an avid reader as well, and I'm always reading, I just decided to write a book about it. So, yeah, that's amazing. Almost finished. So,
congratulations. I can't wait for it. We have to do a second episode of the podcast.
Yeah, follow up.
Once I'll get the book and then we can go over it again.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Are you expanding into different countries in terms of your business? Are you looking at expansion? What's your end plan? Are you looking at some big company coming and purchasing you? You want to grow into different countries? Like, what are you looking at in the next 5 and 10 years?
I think for me, because I do already sell to the UK and the US as well. But for me, obviously, sort of growing the business, probably eventually looking at having a shop, you know, an actual Above the Cloud shop.
Doing
a lot more events. So I'll be doing quarterly events of my own, you know, and sort of growing that, people coming to see me. And yeah, you know, who knows, that could lead to shops in the UK, excuse me, the UK or where have you. But yeah, and hopefully a best-selling book as well.
Congratulations, we'll manifest it together.
You manifest that, yeah.
Having a shop in UK versus having a shop in Dubai, which one would you choose?
Dubai.
Why?
Yeah. I think because we are, you know, well, because I'm here for starters, so it makes sense. But I think my clothes are very suitable for Dubai. You know, it's got a real summer feel about it. There's endless places that you could have a store here. And I think, you know, there's so many opportunities for people to come and shop, aren't there? And great locations as well. So
amazing. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
me today.
You.
I have had such a good time talking to you, and we can keep on going for hours, but I want to be mindful of your time. Before I let you go, think about a time, or let's put it this way. I gift you a unique luxury experience of going into a time machine. You can go into the time machine, you can go back to your younger self and give yourself one piece of advice.
Yeah.
What would that be?
Believe in yourself. Without a single doubt, that I would tell myself that you can achieve anything that you want. Because I think as a child, I lacked confidence. Self-belief is everything, isn't it? You know, you can achieve anything if you invest in yourself.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about you, about your podcast, what's the link?
Yeah, so it's the Above the Clouds podcast, and it's on all the popular channels. And it's also on my website as well, abovethecouds.boutique.
Okay, abovethecouds.boutique. Please, everyone, check out their Instagram profile. We'll put everything in the show notes. And it's been a wonderful journey. Thank you so much for not just bringing out fashion to the everyday people, but also to inspire people in their journeys of manifestation, sharing all of your what has worked for you, because I honestly think we can make a better society when everyone can share what's worked for them. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone has to go through the same, you know, you probably shared these tips and tricks and it took you years. Mm-hmm. I don't want other people to take years.
Yeah.
I want our conscious society to evolve faster. Yeah. So thank you for all the great work that you're doing. Thank you for creating a wonderful atmosphere here on the podcast.
Yeah.
I can assure you this has been one of the best.
Oh.
And thank you.
Oh,
and
thank you.
This is me, CJ, signing out of the Ship with CJ podcast. Everyone, have a great day, great week, great life. And always remember to believe in yourself no matter what people tell you. You do great, you don't do great, people are always going to talk. Get rid of judgment. Get rid of overanalyzing yourself. Believe in what you truly believe in. Believe in yourself, because that's the only one you have for the rest of your life. Everyone's going to come and go. You're going to stick with yourself. Stick in there with belief. Thank you.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.